Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back in the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
Happy New Year! Okay, wait, I got to remember my... And no. Get out of here, you tattooed... Oh, shoot. What was the quote? That was my favorite quote that I hadn't caught before in the movie.
Okay.
Tattooed miseries. That's what it... And get out of my house, you tattooed miseries.
I don't know what she's talking about.
I'm having the strongest sense of deja vu today.
Didn't you just say that? Oh, yeah. Steve, welcome back from break, guys.
I should do this the whole episode.
It might make more sense as some of the people that have got guided us on podcasts lately. So anyway, guys, welcome back. We are in season 6. Which has been wild for me that we've been doing this that long. So, and for season 6, we decided
I got the deja vu, I guess.
For the first time ever, we're going to take a look back at a movie we've already reviewed. Okay. We are going to do take 2 on Muppet Treasure Island. Okay. So, yes. And that's this. Part of the reason we're going back and looking at this is we watched the original Treasure Island movie last fall. And we haven't watched, this was about 2.5 years ago that we watched this. And so we've watched lots of different things. We've seen the original Treasure Island. And I just want to know if that made this movie, you think differently about this movie. Okay. So that's kind of the direction we're coming to this. We might not go same way we did on the original show, but there's some things I really want to make sure we talk about, especially because we've watched more Muppet stuff lately. We've watched other stuff lately, and I just want to see how this stacks up to what we thought about it the first time around. So, and rather than do our typical what did we like about it, what didn't we like about it, I'm going to get a little bit more into some specifics. So, first question is, did the songs sing the right tune? This was a musical. This came out after Muppet Christmas Carol. This was kind of, Muppet Christmas Carol was a very big success, so they decided, hey, we'll do Muppet Treasure Island. And so my question is, did the songs sing the right tune? And as our resident musical theater person, Kate, what are your thoughts on the songs in this?
Absolutely. And I felt the same way in A Christmas Carol. It's Christmas. I think we can all agree that we all love Muppets, right? We're all four of us, all five of us are Muppets fans. But it adds another layer to these movies that I think it would be missing if it didn't have it. Could the movies be fine without the music? Sure. But adding in even that and now all the only songs I can think about are Muppet Christmas Carol movies. I can't think of the movies, songs.
Like the Shiver My Timbers song.
Yes.
At the beginning.
Yes. Yes. It's just, and partly why that makes me laugh so hard because of the little skull that's like singing at his own rhythm. And then he's like, ha, 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 right at the end. And so I absolutely think that this adds another layer. Sometimes I'm like, music, don't add it in certain situations. But this one, it gives you another depth to the characters. It gives the Muppets a chance to show their own personalities, which I think is so brilliant. I absolutely think in this specific instance, it works. And it's so funny that you said that this came right off of Muppet Christmas Carol, because for some reason, I don't know if it was the cadence that Rizzo was speaking in. All I could hear was, light the lamp, not the rat, light the lamp, not the rat. And I kept quoting it. And Casey was like, that's the wrong movie. And I was like, I know. But absolutely, I think that this adds so much. Pete, do you agree?
I'll say this. I think I've always preferred a Muppet movie with performances with songs in it. I, for the most part, didn't think these songs were particularly memorable, though. I mean, I think they worked in the movie, but they were not, to me, the highlight of the movie. The one I did like was the Cabin Fever. What was the one when they were
Cabin Fever. Yeah.
That song I did like, and that was fun, and I really liked that a lot. But like, you know, like the Kermit and Piggy song, I was like, oh, they've done this so much better in other movies.
Yeah, that's true.
And I thought some of the earlier songs were okay. They were fine, but like not something particularly catchy. So I guess I'm kind of in the middle. It's like, I want the songs there. These could have been better songs. I longed for Paul Williams Penn, who wrote all the Muppet movie songs. So what about you, Steve?
I just want to say the same thing. Not very memorable. Like, I had to pull up a list today, sort of remind myself what songs they were. The one I didn't really care for was When We Meet Benjamina, the sort of the tiki room vibe.
Akalaka. Yeah.
It's very Muppety, I'll put it that way, but I just felt like it sort of took me out of the movie there for a moment.
And I actively did not like some of these songs. You're right, Pete. I want a Muppet movie that have music in it. This is one of the things, anyway, that felt so forced. It felt like, oh, we have to have songs. This would be funny, and that would be funny. And it's like they took all the ideas and didn't get rid of any of them. Because I don't want to say too many songs, it had the wrong songs. Cabin Fever's, I can get Cabin Fever. I like the opening song. The opening song, the Shiver My Timbers, is probably my favorite song in it. Mainly because what I love about it is the humans sing the chorus, and then it's always a Muppet singing the verse, which I thought was clever. And we'll get into humans versus Muppets here after a little bit. But the songs for me on this were an active miss.
Really?
So, yeah.
Interesting. There were definitely some. I can agree with that.
I wanted the song. Every song I'm thinking, okay, are they done singing yet? Just in just about every song.
Yeah, that's the same feeling I had. It's like, I want the songs here. I just want these to be better songs.
Yeah, this was not a good song.
Derek, do you think it would have helped if they were just shorter?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm thinking, are they done singing at 30 seconds into a lot of them? So it's just some of them did not work. And some of them were close, but some of them like the Boom Shakalaka tried way too hard. And especially the Kermit and Piggy song. All I could keep hearing is the love we found. The love. Yeah, it's when love is gone. I mean, it had that feeling to it.
Right.
That one
especially, I was like, they've done this so much better before.
Yeah. And much better multiple times.
Right. Yeah.
So okay, so if that's how we felt about the songs, did the jokes hit the mark? Were these Muppet jokes? I mean, and you three kind of understand what I'm talking about. Is, was it Muppet humor, or was it not? Was it other humor but still worked, or did it just not work? And Pete, I'll go to you as the defender of the faith on this one. Did the jokes in this movie hit the mark?
I think they did for me. And I would say, probably like 80%, something like that, 75-80%, which is a pretty good percentage for a comedy. I chuckled quite a bit. I mean, Muppets are rarely like really laugh out loud humor necessarily. Certain things about it, the absurdity, I did it earlier, but the absurdity of Fozzie talking to his finger, having a little person in his finger the whole time, which is like really dumb and nothing to do with Fozzie, but it just worked for me. And every time he, Mr. Bumble, or what was he called?
Mr. Bumble.
Every time he made some comment about it, I laughed. And there were other moments like, there were a lot of moments like that. I really liked the most of the evil pirates. A lot of the jokes with Tim Curry worked for me. So yeah, overall, I think that the jokes here were mostly very strong. I think towards the end, the movie got less funny. I don't know if it's because they were focusing more on plot than humor. And it got a little bit off towards the end, but overall, I think they hit the mark. Steve, what about you? Did you enjoy it?
I agree. I chuckled out loud like multiple times. I think one of them that sticks out is when they throw in the Swedish chef and they sort of make the comment of how we're going to get him in the film.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, and all the, when they bring all the rats on as passengers on the cruise ship, all that kind of stuff. That was all very Muppet, I think.
Muppet. I enjoyed it. I laughed out many times. And that's sort of, I'll wait for this next question because it sort of ties in with my response to the next question. What about you, Derek?
No, for the majority of the jokes did not work for me on this one. And again, I love the Muppets. I love, as I said, those of you watching last time, Muppet Christmas Carol is probably my favorite Christmas movie. I love the old Muppet show. This did not feel like the, and I love the Muppet show and all those. This did not feel like, again, it felt like they were trying too hard. It felt like, okay, what story can we get that is royalty free that we can throw some jokes at? So, or that Disney already owns the rights to that we can throw some jokes at.
So I want to bring this back around again. I apologize. When Kate's done, I want to ask a question. So sorry.
Anyway, so you talked about the Swedish chef one. I think I get what they were trying to do with all of the breaking of the fourth wall, because it worked in Muppet Christmas Carol because it was Charles Dickens and Rizzo as the direct line to the audience. I didn't like how much they did it in this one because they were also characters in the story. And so it just did not work for me. The rats at the beginning, yes, I thought was funny. Him bringing the rats on, they got old. The one joke I did like out of that side of it, though, was when the Electric Mayhem is playing for the pirate gig. So it was, which side are we on? Hey, man, just play the gig. Don't worry about politics. It's such a musician line. go for whoever's paying us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just the jokes. Again, if I'm going to go back to it, felt like they were trying too hard in some of them. It didn't felt either they didn't go far enough, and they didn't go far enough with some of the physical comedy, I think. Like where Gonzo gets stretched on the rack, I thought was one of his best jokes. I'm going, oh, come on, this isn't working. Yes, go longer, harder. Yay, I loved it. And, I mean, that was the most Gonzo-y moment.
Right.
I didn't think Piggy was Piggy enough, to be perfectly honest.
I agree. Yeah, Piggy was not Piggy enough.
Yeah.
I mean, she hits him once at the beginning and that's it. That's the only karate chop she uses, really. So, and I'll be honest, I think Tim Curry was wasted in this. I don't think it had to be Tim Curry in this. Just because, yes, he was supposed to be the villain, but for everyone talking about how over the top Tim Curry is, Tim Curry is a Muppet in human form.
But he wasn't Tim Curry. He wasn't Tim Curry enough.
Yeah, he wasn't. Yeah,
yeah. I was thinking that at times. I was like, oh, this should maybe be even broader.
Oh yeah. Oh, he should have gone. He could have gone like three times as big.
And maybe it hurts because we watched the regular Treasure Island, and that guy goes way beyond.
Oh, it is so big. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, this is the least British accent I've heard Tim Curry say in a long time.
Yeah,
right. I mean, so it's just, it did not hit. It missed more than hit for me. Kate, how about you?
So I think I went into it with the mental idea of like, I already love this movie, so I'm just going to enjoy it because I know I like it. And so it constantly made me laugh out loud. I don't think I was trying to not overthink it, but one of the parts toward the beginning where Fozzie says, what else is a, oh God, I was going to write it down because it made me laugh out loud. What else is a rich half-wit son supposed to do or something like that? It just, those little one-liners are so the Muppets. And so it, I mean, I do agree with you, Derek, that I think Tim Curry was a little bit,
underutilized.
I'm sorry?
Underutilized?
Yeah, wasn't utilized. And I hadn't thought about why I thought that. But maybe it is subconsciously because we had watched the other movie and the other guy was so much. I didn't notice that the jokes didn't hit. I agree with everything you all said, but I didn't come out of it going, oh man, that just like wasn't funny.
But I think, Steve and I both said that they hit.
They both said that they hit.
Yeah, so it's really just Derek saying.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah,
I love the Pirate Busters uniforms that they put on. the Ghostbusters uniforms, but they had no pirate patch on the arms.
Yeah. I think they hit. It made me laugh out loud.
Okay. Pete, you wanted to say something.
So I think that, Muppet Christmas Carol is a great movie. It's not that funny. I think this is a funnier movie than Muppet Christmas Carol because Muppet Christmas Carol plays a lot of the movie straight, the story of...
I would agree.
Yeah. ...of Christmas Carol. And not that there's no jokes in it and not that there aren't funny jokes in it. There are, but it's much straighter of a movie. This is more, I don't want to call it laugh a minute, but it's more rapid Muppet jokes in it. And, again, do they all hit? Not necessarily, but, there's lots of like Tim Curry tricking Sam to get in the boat and to look for holes in the boat. It just let him drift off. It's like, it was like, this is really Sam Eagle that Sam would be like, oh, well, catch me off. I'll check. Because I was before that, it's been a few years since we saw it. So I was like, how do they like not kill Sam Eagle? Because like that character in every other version, Mr. Arrow is killed in all the other versions. And I'm like, well, they can't.
The Muppets.
Yeah. Well, they can't kill him. So I was like,
Sam Eagle.
How are they going to get rid of him? And they just were like, oh, the boat has a hole in it. It's like, okay, I'll go check.
Okay. So I said, this is the second time we've watched this. This is the first movie we've done a second time around. And I also guess that this is more than the second time for most of us to have ever seen this.
I think so, yeah.
I had this on VHS. Yeah.
So what did you notice new or what did you notice different on this watch compared to other times that you've watched it? Steve?
I love Gonzo and Rizzo. They make a great pair. They crack me up. I love the snarkiness. I was reading that originally they were going to be the Jim Hawkins, Jim and Hawkins, as that was going to be the Jim Hawkins character. I don't know how that would work, but they are so funny. Because the snarkiness, the comments they made. I mean, even in the Christmas Story, they're hilarious. They should use them more often.
Okay.
Yeah.
For me, I had not remembered how many humans there were in this movie. And I didn't like it as much, to be perfect, because I would want Tim Curry to be Long John Silver. What about Robin as Jim Hawkins? Or come up with a new Muppet that is Jim Hawkins.
Yeah.
Rather than, I want that delineation. Mm-hmm. Either, okay, if you want all the humans to be pirates, fine. But keep me a Muppet main character.
Yeah. Mm. Scooter as
Jim Hawkins. I wouldn't mind Scooter.
Scooter.
But that's probably the thing I noticed this time around is how many more humans there were in this movie and just completely intermingled. They didn't distinguish. It's like I feel like in the original Muppet movie, there wasn't a lot of mingling, but it's one of those, the auxiliary characters were all humans, but your main characters were all Muppets.
Right.
If that's going to be the case, if it's all your pirates and Long John Silver's humans, and then everyone else, all the good guys are Muppets, and even some of the bad guys can be Muppets too. I mean, Sweetum's turn at the end was just phenomenal. But that's one of the things that bugged me about it when I was watching this. It's one of those, I didn't like the young man who played Jim, I think, as Jim in this movie.
I liked him better than Drisco in the original version.
Oh, yeah. Oh, then Bobby Drisco? Absolutely. It was more.
He was. You know. This one was better than that one. So.
Okay. So, Kate.
I meant to look this up, but was the kid who played Jim Hawkins in this movie, was he in other stuff? Like prominent other stuff?
Not super, but he is still acting, that actor.
Really?
Like he's a working, now he's not a star or anything, but I looked him up and he has IMDb credits all the way from back then way through now, all British. So he wasn't,
yeah, mostly faking British. Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay.
I'll have to go look, because
mostly stuff I didn't know, but
I just remember thinking as a kid, I was like, he's so cute. And I still think it. He's so cute. Like, he's just so cute. Yeah. So for me, I again went into it because we watched Muppet Christmas Carol not too long ago. I was going in looking for the funny one-liners. I was looking for the, light the lamp, not the rat, light the lamp. And the one that made me laugh, I had to rewind it because I was like, did I hear that correctly? Is it toward the beginning, this woman comes out and she's trying to get the pirates or whatever out. I don't remember exactly what's happening. She was like, get out of my house, you tattooed miseries. And I literally was like, what did she just say? So I was specifically looking for. So that was some of the things, the little things that I caught. And I didn't write all of them down. I should have. But I was looking for the little one-liners that I hadn't caught or paid enough attention to. And that was what I was looking for, Pete.
So I think because we had just watched the 1950, whatever it was, version, this is the first time I noticed how close it hewed to the original story.
Or at least the original story as told by Walt Disney.
As well, right. And funny enough, we earlier in 2025, also watched Treasure Planet, which is another Disney movie that was also based on Treasure Island.
Yeah. Isn't that Milo? Is the main character Milo in that movie?
No, that's Atlantis. That's the Atlantis one.
Oh, Atlantis. Okay.
And that is a better... Treasure Planet doesn't work. It's not good. We don't need to do it here. But it was interesting, having seen all three, that they all hew pretty close to the story.
Yeah.
You know, and even down to like Benjamina Gunn being stranded on the island and everything and hiding the treasure and everything. So it was that I thought was very interesting. I also, like Derek, noticed this time, and I agree, like the humans should be either like Tim Curry's role, yes, that's a human. And then it should be like cameos, like Billy Connolly at the beginning playing Billy Bones. Like,
yes.
Perfect, right? I want cameos of celebrities. I don't want some of the pirate actors and some of the crew to be humans. Those should just be Muppets. If you're just going to be like running around in the background, why do I have a, you know, why do I need a human there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me, just put those people as Muppets. Those should just be Muppets. And I kind of agree with you on Jim Hawkins, only because this character, this interpretation of the role was pretty bland. that it would have maybe worked better as a, as you said, Scooter would have been a good choice. That could have worked.
Yeah. Okay. So we've seen several Tim Curry movies. I think we all agree Tim Curry has done many, many things that we like. Okay. So what is your favorite Tim Curry movie? Not what is your favorite part that he plays in a movie. Of his movies, which is one is your favorite? Pete, I'll let you start.
I'm afraid I got to take one of the big ones because I thought about this. And honestly, he hasn't been in a ton of movies. He kind of stopped like being in big movies.
He did a lot of voice acting.
He went to a lot of voice acting. But man, I love Clue. I can't. And it's not just Tim Curry. Everybody in that movie is so brilliant. Yeah. So yep. Funny. Madeline Kahn, Michael McKean, Christopher Lloyd. Watching it now, you like, how did this movie not be a hit back at the time? What did they screw up? Because this movie is so funny and Tim Curry is great in it too. So I have to take that, and I apologize for
I know.
You let me go first. Yeah, I have to I take know. It. So
I know.
Steve.
So I'm going with my backup because Clue was number one. I'm going to go with the TV movie. I remember watching it as a child, and I know there's
the
new
Pennywise. Original Pennywise.
Yeah,
he was original Pennywise. The TV It movie over two episodes, 4 hours, whatever. He played the creepy clown. I mean.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go. I'm not a huge scary movie fan. I didn't realize that was him. I'm going to have to go watch it.
I mean, whoever the other Bill or whatever, he takes a different take. I think Tim Curry did the total like creepy clown that turns evil that you would imagine. So that was mine.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go one where he has a much more supporting role, but is still a very, very good movie, mainly because I can't go with Pete's. I'm going to go with Hunt for Red October.
That is not what I thought you were going to say.
I almost said that, Derek.
That is a great movie. Sean Connery and Alec Baldwin. Okay, Alec Baldwin a little bit. Although I will say I like Alec Baldwin's character representation of the character better than Harrison Ford's.
Yeah.
But because Harrison Ford always plays the same character, but So I'm going to go Hunt for Red October on this one, mainly because I think it's a movie that I could, when it's on 98% of the time, if I'm flipping through and see it, I will stop and watch it.
And that movie holds up. I just saw it fairly recently. Yes. I downloaded it and watched it on a plane, and it is a great movie.
It is a great movie. And it's one that works as a TV edit because there's not very much cursing in it.
Yeah.
So, okay. You wanted to be last.
I did. And it's funny because I'm still stuck between two, but I'm going to go Home Alone 2. Yeah. It was between Home Alone 2 and Annie. And I know that all of you are going to be like, Annie, it was such a terrible movie.
Annie's not a terrible movie.
Annie was the movie that one of the first times I saw singing and dancing at the same time. I'm going to switch mine to Annie. And Tim Curry as Rooster and Bernadette Peters as Lily St. Regis. All-star cast.
And she's leaving out Carol Burnett as Miss Hannigan. I was getting there.
It is so good. And yes, it's a little problematic at the end. Like it has a kind of a scary climax, but my God, I loved that movie as a kid. Again, it was one of the first movies I saw that had singing and dancing at the same time. It was kids and I was a kid watching it. And so I had the record. That was one of the first records that we had. And I know it was made in like the 70s and I wasn't born yet, Derek. Yes, I know.
No, that's not what I was going to say at all.
Oh, what were you going to say?
Gonna tell a story on my senior here. When he was probably 7 or 8, they were doing a their Christmas program was music from movies. Okay. He and my wife had been arguing back and forth as far as, you know, you need to do this. You need to do these chores. No, I don't want to. You're so mean. I can't believe it. So he gets down and he starts picking up his stuff and he starts singing It's a Hard Knock Life.
Heck yes, he did.
I had to go in and save his life. Oh, my wife, no. He's singing that because it's one of the Christmas songs and it just happens to be in his head. He is not making the equation. No, because she turned about the color of my shirt.
I want to hear her tell this story sometime.
About the same. Yeah. She understands. Yeah. She realizes.
Wait, so he didn't do that on purpose?
No.
Really? Oh, I thought for sure that was on purpose.
Not at that age. Well, because he wouldn't know the background of the story. He just knew the song.
Oh, but
back when you could actually carry a tune in, a dump truck.
I didn't do it in protest for cleaning, but I would get buckets and would sing It's a Hard Knock Life and move the buckets and have the thing. And yeah, it was just,
I want to see videos of little Katie doing that.
I was in Annie. Wildly enough, I was in the musical Annie when 9/11 happened. I was in eighth grade. Wow. And we were in, and there's the whole NY. It's not in the movie, but in the stage show, they sing the song called NYC.
NYC, yeah.
And our Daddy Warbucks. So 9/11 happened on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have a show until Thursday, I think, Thursday or Friday. And his first time singing through NYC was rough.
I don't know.
And the whole audience applauded afterwards. So Annie also has a very special place in my heart because I got a stomach virus. We had all gone out to eat and I don't think it was food poisoning. I think it was a stomach virus and I was so sick, which is why I was home from school. The whole cast of Annie had gone out. I got a stomach virus, which is why I was homesick from school when 9/11 happened and the rest. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Annie. I thought you all were going to be like, Annie, it's such a terrible movie.
No, it's not the greatest musical ever made. Yeah, but it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. It's a little long, but.
Yeah, most Broadway musicals are.
Right. I'm talking about the movie.
No. Yeah, but the movie, yes. I mean, most movies made off of Broadway musicals are a little long.
At least they didn't split it in two and call the first one part one and the second one something else.
This is true. And double the length of it. Okay. Guys, any other thoughts on Muppet Treasure Island? I mean, we've covered it pretty good. If we didn't hit something you wanted us to talk about this time, odds are we probably talked about it in our last show that we did this. I looked it up. It's in season 3. It's show 130-ish.
Wow.
I think if you want to go back and take a listen.
And Derek, are you tell us what we gave it back then
Not till after we score it.
No, after we score.
I will tell you, I want to see what your ratings are now, and then I will tell you how it has changed from last time. So, second time around, take two on Muppet Treasure Island. Kate, Cups of Pixie Dust out of 5.
I'm going to give it a solid 3.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a 3 for me. 3 for me.
Steve.
I'm going 3.5.
Okay. I'm going to go 2.5. It's a movie that, if it's on and people want to watch it, yeah, sure. But it's probably not one I'm going to seek out. So, okay. So I believe, if I remember right, the only one who changed from your first, I need to figure out exactly where it is.
I think I ranked it higher last time.
Okay. I should have had this pulled up. Kate, tell you what. What do we got for Disney Plus news this week? And then I will let you guys know once I find the ratings.
Yeah. So we have a couple of Disney. We haven't had a lot of Disney Plus news in the recents, but we have a couple. The Muppet Show is getting a special produced by Seth Rogen. It is a one-off, but the idea is that it may be the rebirth of the show. If the special is successful, the show will be on February 2nd. I'm excited for that. Let's hope it's good.
And that's Sabrina Carpenter as the guest, and it is going to be like traditional, the original Muppet Show, or I suppose Muppets Tonight was also very similar to the Muppet Show, right?
Yeah.
Was Muppets Tonight the one that they tried to do somewhat recently?
No.
was Muppets Tonight the one they tried to do in like the early 90s?
Early 90s, yeah.
The one with like the really weird demon looking guy.
Yeah, Uncle Deadly. Yeah.
Yeah. Uncle Deadly, yeah. I watched that. That got a whole lot closer to like Labyrinth type Muppets.
Demon looking guy.
Yes.
Yeah, Uncle Deadly. He's he was also in the Muppet movie with
I mean he's so
it's Amy Adams and
I still remember they tried to do a lot with like green screens in that one. It's the one where we're like producing the TV show, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And then last but not least, Disneyland Handcrafted, a documentary on the making of the park, will come to Disney Plus and YouTube on January 22nd. It's being made by the same people who made The Imagineering Story. I have a question. Does anybody think we're going to learn anything we don't already know?
No. Does anyone think we're not going to watch it?
Oh, we're still going to watch it.
Yeah, we're still going to watch it. We're going to watch it when it comes out.
I'm excited because there's supposed to be a lot of never before seen footage of the construction
of it.
Disneyland. So I totally agree with Kate. I would be surprised if we learn much new, but I expect to see things I haven't seen before, which
and hear interviews I haven't heard before.
Yeah. Which is enough for me.
Well, 'cause I think Leslie Iwerks is producing it.
Yes.
So
yeah. Same one that did the Imagineering Story.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So original Muppet Treasure Island, I gave it a 2.5, which is still accurate. Kate gave it a 3, which is still there. Pete had originally given it a 3.5. So
I was torn a little bit. So yeah, I could see that.
Steve originally gave it a 2.5.
Whoa. Wow. I guess he was more in the mood this time.
Apparently. So guys, next week it is the 40th anniversary of the Challenger explosion. The Challenger disaster. And there's actually a documentary on there. You know, it's actually a 10-year-old documentary. It's called The Challenger Disaster, The Lost Tapes. And it focuses, the early part of it focuses a lot around Krista McAuliffe and everything. And but I've actually watched 90% of this already just because I didn't want it to. I wanted it to have something that was actually decent for this. Right. And the first part is shows her, like, her preparation as far as the selection of her, and then the preparation of her her lessons, shows some of that. And then it does go into, obviously, about halfway through is the launch, and then kind of what her legacy was afterwards. So it focuses a lot more on Krista McAuliffe than some of the other astronauts. Mm. But I think, honestly, I haven't quite finished it yet, only because I ran out of time. I was enjoying sitting and watching it, but I just ran out of time. So I think you guys will at least be, or at least I think a couple of you will be at least entertained and educated on this. I think there may be a certain one of us who is bored out of his or her skull. and he's even made her voice go away.
I like documentaries. I feel like you're talking about me. I like documentaries. I think it's going to be good, but when I saw that that's what we were watching, I had a moment that was like, wait, didn't we watch that? But this isn't what we watched. We watched the
episode. The other space lady.
Well, no.
Sally Ride.
Wasn't it the the documentary about the black astronaut.
Yes, the right. Yes,
that's what I was thinking of.
That was good.
Yeah. So that's what we're watching. But guys, we need some suggestions on what you want us to watch. Please email us plusfortune@gmail.com. If there's other stuff you want us to talk about besides what's on Disney Plus, let us know. If there's, you know, certain things you want us to change, let us know. Yeah.
I have a question.
Okay. If it's to what you sent in the background, we'll probably do it next week.
No, it's not that.
What's Derek, the
because this is our sixth season, I think we know this. I think Gina actually said this earlier. How many shows, not how many episodes have we done, but how many shows have we watched?
Muppet Treasure Island. Okay. Seeing Muppet Treasure Island once, we have done 206 shows.
Wow. And that's including like Marvel, like Loki, even though we did several episodes on it, that Loki only counts as one.
Okay.
That's crazy, you guys.
206 Pixie Dust ratings.
That's crazy pants. That's wild. 206, you guys. 206.
I have a question for the audience, because we're kind of not planning to, but do you want us to do Percy Jackson season 2? Because I think we all liked it the first season, right? Kind of liked it.
I think so.
So write in. And if you want to see us talk about season 2, I haven't watched it yet. I've heard it's good. But
I mean, yeah. We all gave it either 2.5 or 3. Season 1.
Did I give it a 3?
Yeah, you did.
Not surprised.
So yeah, I'm not surprised either.
So,
but anyway. So yeah, if you have suggestions on things you want to make sure we hit, especially new stuff that's coming out that we might miss, let us know. You can send us an email, or you can message us, reply to this, comment on this video, send us messages on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, everywhere. We have new episodes coming out every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Pete, and Steve, Gina, our wonderful producer, we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews, as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @PlusPlatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.